News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Yeah, I heard that today. I heard that today on the news weather forecast is the dreaded F word.
Yeah, we're talking good. Frost.
We're talking frost. And so it looks like, what is it, three in Regina tonight, two with the risk of frost in Saskatoon, and tomorrow night I think it's going to be like two in Regina, and Saskatoon is going to be the same thing again. So we got a couple nights, and then I think it's going to warm up again a little bit. But you know what? I tell people that be careful if you want to finish off, especially if you got melons, things like your cantaloupes, your melons, your watermelon, things like your pumpkins, your gourds, all those kind of things that you really like to finish off in the fall. You don't want those leaves to get hit, because once they get hit, then once the leaves turn a little bit, they'll turn a little black and crumply and everything else, and then they won't be effective in feeding the fruit that you want to grow. And so you may want to just throw even a light sheet, like a light blanket over top. That's all you really need, is just a bed sheet over top, and or if you have some of that frost protective cover, or that what we call a grow cover. It's a white fabric that you can use for the fall to protect the plants, but you can also use it in the spring to start your plants, because then it gets them started way quicker, and then you also use it in the middle of summer to stop things like cabbage worms and onion maggots and those kind of things. You can put over top of your crops as well, so it works really well.
1-877-332-8255 if you have a question for Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Yeah, it doesn't have to be too elaborate, but protecting your plants and your garden is really important. So are there any other ways that people can make sure that their plants are protected?
Well, the big market gardens, what they'll do, because they can't, obviously, they do have frost cover big blankets that are, 15 feet wide, they put over top of some of the crops, in this time of the year if they're trying to protect them. But they'll also, if they don't have that, they'll actually turn the irrigation on. And because you got to remember, it's at the dew point time when you get the coldest temperature. So right now it's going to be around 5-6 o'clock in the morning, right? That's about the time when it's going to get the coldest. Mm-hmm. And so you can set your irrigation timers to come on at that specific time. And then the water will actually protect the plants as well for a little bit of frost protection as well.
All right. Well, that's good to know. 1-877-332-8255 if you have a question for Rick Van Dyvendyke. And we're going to go right to the phones now. Kent is standing by in Rokenville. Kent, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I got like 4-5-year-old spruce trees I planted in the yard, and this year the needles from the branches started to die from the start of the branch to the outside. So I sprayed the trees with Echo. I was talking to some neighbors, and they figured it's a fungicide. So I sprayed it with Echo, and then it said wait a month, and I did it again. And I don't know, some of them look like they're doing okay, and the others are not doing well at all. I don't know what else to do.
How big are the trees right now?
Oh, 6 feet.
6 feet.
That's
a pretty young tree to have a fungal, because there is a needle cast disease that's going around, but usually they're affecting the older trees, not such a young tree. And needle cast is that's once it gets in there, you can treat it. I'm not sure about Echo, but it's another one that I like using is copper sulfate. That works very well. Usually a younger tree like that, you might be affected also by spider mite, but you said it started browning on the tips first, right, you said?
No, not the tips were the last that got us affected.
So it's starting from the inside out or outside in?
Yeah. And some of the trees are doing fine, and some of them are just struggling. I don't know what.
So if it's coming from the inside out, then you might have a spider mite problem, okay? That might be a bigger problem, because usually a fungal starts from more of the outer tips and works the way in. The other way it works in the outside tips, too, is what happens is that we had a lot of people with the sawfly, and it was eating all the outside needles and even going into the old needles as well. And that's a sawfly lays an egg, and it's actually a little worm that eats the needles. It'll just look brown.
So is that then malathion you'd spray them?
That would be malathion, because that would take care of the spider mite as well.
Well, it did them with Malocyne last year, and then I don't know. I'm just confused as to what's going on.
Yeah, so make sure also that you, whereabouts do you live, you said?
Brokenville.
I don't know what the pH of your soil is. Watch your pH of your soil, too, to keep them healthier. Your pH of your soil should be around 7, okay? So test your pH. If it's up to 7.4 or higher, use an elemental sulfur to lower the pH, and your trees will be a lot healthier and be able to resist things like diseases and insects a lot better.
Okay, so another question is, I fertilized the lawn with a fertilizer blend. Is there any fertilizer that might have affected these trees?
No, the only thing that might have affected is a herbicide drift.
Oh, well,
that might have affected them. What's that?
There's farm crops around us. I don't know what was sprayed there.
Yeah, that's the only thing that might have affected is a herbicide drift. But otherwise, no, the fertilizer, unless you dumped a lot of fertilizer down, it wouldn't affect it, no.
Okay, so I sprayed the lawn with 2,4-D for the dandelions, and I did it on a calm day. Would that affect them?
Not unless it was dead calm. Because dead calm is not good either, because it lifts off the ground and then drifts around, right?
Oh,
don't do it on dead. Have a little bit of drift. A little bit of wind is good, but not dead calm. And as long as you're just being, you're better off to go on just spot spray your dandelions rather than do a big wand spray, you know, like, but I mean, that probably wouldn't affect your little backpack sprayer or whatever you had. It's more of a big sprayer drift that would affect them.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Kent, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it, and I hope things get figured out there with your spruce trees. Let's go to the text line here for a moment. 1-877-332-8255. That's the number to call if you want to speak directly to Rick Van Dyvendyk, and, of course, you can also text that number as well. Let's go to Regina Beach. Laura is there, and her question, Rick, is how do I store seeds from tiger lilies over the winter? Or is it better to plant them in the ground now? And if so, how deep to plant them?
You could store them if you want. Just store them in a dry, cool place. That wouldn't be a problem if you want to. But or you can plant them as well. And if you want to plant them, just plant them in a in a nice loose soil. It can be any type of soil. The sandier the soil, the better for lettuce seed. And don't plant it too deep because, you know, in nature they don't go that deep, but they just sort of sit just a little bit underneath the surface, but barely anything. And then they'll stratify themselves with the cold and then get started in the spring as well. So you could do either way. You could store them as long as cool, dry place.
And if so, if you want to plant them, how deep?
Just barely underneath the surface. Just a little bit of soil over top of the seed. That's it.
All right, and that's a question from Lauren in Regina Beach. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break here on Garden Talk. If you have a question that you want to ask directly to Rick Van Dyvendyk, by all means, give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. We have a few lines open for you right now. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. And a good Sunday morning to you. Woodsy here along with Rick Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers, taking your questions. Anything to do with gardening, give us a call. 1-877-332-8255. That is also the number you can text, and we will get to as many of those as we possibly can. Rick, we have a number of questions coming in on our text line, 1-877-332-8255. We don't know who this is from, doesn't matter. We have a clump birch at the lake that has aphids. The dew they give off has rained on their patio for 4 or 5 years now. We have sprayed 4 or 5 times with Bug Be Gone as far up as we can with no success. It's approximately 35 feet. What do you suggest we do?
That's about when you get the aphids, when they start secreting, they make a mess. But the only thing you really do is if you're not having success with the insecticides, is try to use beneficial insects. Like you can buy actually ladybugs, and you can release ladybugs, and then those ladybugs will do a.
You can buy ladybugs?
Absolutely. Yeah, we sell ladybugs every spring. Oh, it's about more like June. That's when we start selling them. But you can buy ladybugs, you release ladybugs, and they're a great way of getting rid, organically getting rid of those insects, because they eat a ton of those aphids. That's their favorite food.
Mm.
So that's probably the best way if you're not having success with the insecticide, but also if you're not, you also should switch up your type. So even try something like Endol, which is a fairly safe one to use too, because it's canola oil, insecticidal soap, and a little tiny bit of pyrethrin. And so that is, you could try that as well. It's a little different, but the key would be to getting rid of aphids is that you have to get the first generation. You've got to remember the life cycle of an aphid. In the fall, they lay an egg. Okay, mm-hmm. For the next year. When the egg hatches in the spring, they're asexual aphids, so they're basically born pregnant, okay? And so then they don't lay eggs anymore during the season. They actually give birth to actually more pregnant aphids. So all of a sudden, you've got to realize within 1 month, you would probably have around 10 generations of aphids.
Oh, my.
So you have to get on top of those first generations as quick in the spring as you can. Because as soon as the leaves start coming out, the aphids are going to be there. So if you can capture and control those first generations, you have way less problems for the rest of the summer.
If they started in the fall, would it be advantageous to kind of get it done now?
Well, yeah, if you can try to bring down the populations, of course, then right now they won't start laying eggs, and they'll start laying eggs in September, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get rid of some of the populations now, but hitting those first ones when they first hatch in the spring is critical.
Always liked ladybugs. You know, there's something about a ladybug that just, now you can buy them, and they serve a purpose.
They serve a purpose.
That's great. And if that's not working, end all with canola oil, so that's great as well. All right. Thank you very much for that text. Meanwhile, we'll move on to Connie in Prince Albert. I have blossom rot on one of my tomato plants. They are in pots with a south and west exposure. And unfortunately got too dry a few times. Will all the tomatoes on this plant be affected? And should I just dispose of that plant, or may there be some unaffected tomatoes on it? Also,
yeah.
Will this spread to other plants that are seemingly unaffected?
No, it'll stay with that plant basically. And as long as you start, you got control of your watering, like we talked about that many times, going wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry. Is what causes blossom end rot. So as long as you got on top of that and you had a couple times where it dried out, if you don't let that happen again, the other fruit won't get it. And also making sure you use a fertilizer with calcium in them will also help the plants to be able to resist that blossom end rot. But the key is consistent watering every time.
Okay, now when we're talking about consistent watering, I was amazed last week you were talking about there is a proper way to water. How should they be doing that?
Yeah, basically making sure that you don't water over top of the leaves if you all possibly can. Water at the ground level. That's the best thing to do. That also keeps diseases away from the plants as well a whole lot. And then just making sure if you're not around to water during the hot part of the day, like as I say, you go to work in the morning, you water them in the morning, that's the best time to water them. But then you might have to water them again around 4:30 or so. It's the best time to... Best thing to do if you can't get around to water them around 4:30 or 4 o'clock, when things are at the hottest, just after the hottest part of the day, then put some mulch around the base of the plants.
Mm.
Put some cedar mulch or some kind of a mulch around the base, and then that will help keep retain the moisture in the soil just a little bit longer until you can get home to water the plants.
Okay, Connie, I hope that that helps you out. Thank you very much for the text. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call if you want to chat directly with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Bernice says she's purchased the frost fabric that you spoke about earlier. She put it on, leaving it till harvest. Should she also put a tarp on overnight tonight? As we mentioned off the top of the show, there is a risk of frost.
No, that frost blanket will protect you for about -2 degrees of frost. So you're lost there because we're only seeing a risk of frost. We're not seeing frost. So this will help you quite a bit right until September.
Okay, good to know. Hope that answers the question, Bernice. Let's go back to the phone lines, 1-877-332-8255. Ted from Regina Beach standing by has a question about choke cherries. Go ahead, Ted.
I was just wondering if we have, of course, wild choke cherries everywhere. I'm just wondering, is there a trick if I wanted to take some and replant them in a different location?
The best thing to do is if you want to take like a sucker from the ground, then you want to do it when it's dormant, when the leaves have fallen off. Or are you talking about taking seed? There's two ways.
No, I was thinking dormant.
Yeah, just make sure it's dormant. You can do that basically at the end of September. You can move them, or you can move them first thing in the spring, which is, about the 15th of April.
Okay.
Either time will work just perfect for transplanting them.
And digging the hole, same rule, like the twice the size of, let's say, the shovel you've taken out? Or
Yeah, just make sure, because you got to remember, if you're taking a sucker, let's say, or are you actually moving the whole plant, or are you just taking a sucker and you're moving it?
I was going to take some of the suckers.
Yeah, so make sure you try to get a fairly wide swath around the plant, because remember, a sucker is something that's shot up from the root system of the mother plant. And so if you just take a very small piece, you're just going to have a little piece of main stick of the mother plant, and so it might not survive just on that. So you might have to go a little bit wider than you normally would, and then you'll have better success.
All right.
Can I ask you a quick one, though?
Sure.
Just when you're taking seeds off of a plant, you know, like now they're seeding, that sort of thing, when should you, if you're going to keep them, let's say, in an envelope or whatever, when should you put those in? Would you drop them into the ground if you wanted to reseed and stuff?
You could do it in the fall if you want. You could do it in the spring. I like in most varieties, I like doing it in the fall in my seed bed, because then the wintertime, the coldness will basically stratify the seed, and then that will break down the outer hard crust of the seed, and then it'll germinate in the spring. Okay? But otherwise, yeah, you could put it inside too, and then what you can do is even put it into the fridge put it in a dry location in about March, beginning of April, put it in the fridge for a few weeks, and then put it outside. That'll work as well.
Thank you. By the way, okay. The birds are doing fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet they are. Thank you very much. All right, we've got a little bit of time here left, so let's go to Helen quickly and Wadena, who has a question about a burning bush. Go ahead, Helen.
Oh, hello. I have a burning bush. I bought two at the same time, and the one on the right, I put one and one on the east north side of the steps, and one on the south. And the one on the south side is starting to turn yellow around the edges.
Yeah, turning yellow around the edges is meaning it has some stress in the roots, so it's probably a little bit warmer there, and you probably haven't got as much water as the one on the north, or it's been drying out quicker because it's hotter there. Okay.
Okay, I seem to be watering it all the time though, so I don't know.
Yeah. Probe the soil, though. The best way to do is, like I always say, is use a piece of rebar or something like that. Probe the soil and just see what the soil is like 3 or 4 or 5 inches into the ground rather than just on the surface. And then you'll find it. If it's really dry down a little deeper, then you just need to get a little bit more water. And if that's on the south side, if it's doing right around the edges of the leaf, it just started having a bit of stress on the root system.
Okay. So do I really water it good for the winter?
Yeah, slow down the watering of all your plants in September, and then once you get to about the middle of October, give them a really good soak.
All right, Helen, we've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for your call, 1-877-332-8255. Time now for a news break here on Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Now, good morning. It is Woodsy along with Rick Van Dyvendijk from Dutch Growers, taking your questions and comments about gardening. Anything you've got, Rick can handle it. It's 1-877-332-8255 if you have a question you want to talk to Rick directly. We do have one caller on the line right now from Balgoni. Ed is standing by. Go ahead, Ed. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions on spruce trees. You got some that are about 7 or 6 feet tall or whatever, and I was wondering about watering them. Is it a good time of the year to water them, or some people say you're not supposed to water them after August?
Well, right now you can give them a good watering yet, because we're still in August and we just finished with a good heat, hot spell, right?
Yeah, so it's been very hot and they're dry. I did the rebar test, and there's really nothing there for moisture at all, hardly.
So that's what I just did in my acreage. I'm in pure sand, and I put the soaker hoses out there, and I gave them a good soaking just this last week. So give them one good soaking now, and then after that, slow down the watering during the rest of September, and then about the middle of October, give them one last good drink.
Give them another soaking in October.
In October, just before you shut the water down completely.
Okay. Is it okay to use harder water from the well, like well water, or is that not good to use?
I use well water, but I don't have hard water on my well, so I'm pretty good. But if it's really hard or a high iron content, then that's not that great for the plants.
There's no iron. It's mostly, calcium in it?
Yep. Yeah, too much calcium, if you're going to give them a good heavy drink, is not the best for the plants. But if that's all you have, that if as you said it's that dry, then you're going to have to give them some water. Just don't give them a really heavy soak with that. But if otherwise, if you have some big tanks that you can get some dugout water or something like that, that'd be the best way to do it.
Okay. And one more question: is it a good time of the year to move raspberries, or is it better in the spring?
I like doing it in the spring, but I've moved it in the fall. But after they got a couple frosts on the leaves first, okay?
Okay.
Not right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Ed. Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Let's move along here to Colleen, who has a question about her tomatoes and squash. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hi. I was just wondering if there's some way to ripen the squash or the tomatoes quicker, like taking off the leaves or cutting the vines or something, just so that we can get them to be harvested before the frost comes?
Yeah, just making sure that you very be specific of which leaves you take off. Basically, if the leaves are sheltering the plants from the sun, if you pick some of those off or move them somehow so the sunlight gets more onto the plants, they'll ripen quicker, okay? But a lot of times you'll get big leaves on some of those plants, and they actually you're shading the plant, and so that's the part of the will take a lot longer to ripen. But right now, especially if you want them to ripen, watch out for that nighttime temperature when it's starting to get down to 2 or 3 degrees. Then you need to cover them because that will really slow down the ripening when you get that cool night temperatures. If you can put that blanket over for the nighttime, they actually ripen quite a bit in the night as well. But if it gets cold, that slows that process down big time. So as soon as it goes, I always say as soon as it goes down below 5 degrees at night, put a light covering on them, and then that'll ripen them way quicker.
Okay, and what about tomatoes? Is there a way to, because I have a lot of tomatoes on my plants that are green, and I'm just wondering if there's a way to ripen tomatoes quicker.
Just there again, more sun, the quicker they'll ripen. Okay, so if your tomato plants are really close together and there's lots of leaves, then the sunlight doesn't get to them. You'll notice that the ones at the very bottom will sometimes not ripen as much as the ones at the top, right? So just thinning the leaves a little bit will help quite a bit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Colleen. Let's now go down to Catepwa and talk to Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. I have some towering poplars. I kind of use a fence line between the two, and they're the Swedish aspen. They're not too tall. They're blocking the stars for me. I want to cut them down like to a third. What's going to happen to them? Are they going to grow from the bottom up? Can I do that?
Yeah, you can do that, but you have to do it when they're dormant, okay? So once the leaves are off, and then you want to make sure that in next year that you're fertilizing that plant really well and keeping them moist, okay? Because cutting the tops off will stress them a bit. And one thing about Swedish aspens is that, especially when they get older, when the plants are stressed, they attract what's called the poplar borer, which is an insect that bores into the bark and then mines and then will kill the whole tree, okay? So making sure you can trim them off, do it when it's dormant, but then next year, make sure that you fertilize at least once a month for May, June, and July. Fertilize once a month, and then that will keep them healthy to be able to rebound from that pruning, and they'll be fine.
How will they grow from there? Will they try to grow out of that cut top?
They'll try to create a new top, and they'll also bush out sideways a little bit.
Thank you. And a follow-up to the person that asked about watering with hard water. I have hard water, and it does have iron in it. What does that do to all the shrubs, Saskatoon's trees? What's the effect of that? I can't really filter it out, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, it does, because even like I had a well when I had hard iron, it puts an orange film on with the iron on the plants, and it actually will slow them down and from growing. And I had a huge problem. Another house I had that I had to get an iron filter. That was the only way I was able to do it. And otherwise, you need to start collecting put a good rainwater collection system in there for watering your plants. So when it does rain, that you can actually, in between your watering, you can actually give them some rainwater. That'll help mitigate the results of just using well water all the time.
All right, Brian, thank you very much for your call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Saskatoon now and talk to Paul. Go ahead, Paul. What's your question?
I pulled all my potatoes. I had a fantastic potato crop this year. I have raised beds, and now I'm dressing them. I'm putting peat moss in there, and what else should I do? I've been saving peanut shells. Can I add those in there too? Or
absolutely. But just remember, never use a lot of one thing. Okay. So when you use your compost, try to mix it up. Use some bark, little bits of twigs and bark and everything else, and also then leaves, and then some of those peanuts and mix, have a whole bunch of things. I don't like using a whole bunch, like a lot of people like putting a whole bunch of grass clippings in, but I don't like using all of one thing. I like to mix it up, and that gives a good amount of a mixture, which gives all different types of nutrients for your plants is a lot better.
A good variety, yeah. Should I crush up those peanut shells or just leave them like...
Better crushed up, because then they'll break down quicker and better nutrients for the plants.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Paul. Let's move along here as the calls keep coming in at 1-877-332-8255. Let's now talk to Ann in Regina. We had a question earlier about choke cherries. You have another one, Ann. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I might have missed it. Maybe you've answered it already. We have the choke cherry, and it has about 5 trunks. And the leaves this year came out, they were quite small. And now on about 3 of the trunks, the leaves are brown and brittle. They're dead already.
Okay.
And I've noticed a lot of the choke cherries in our neighborhood are looking kind of sad this year. Is it fatal or is it something that'll come back?
It'll come back. Choke cherries will come back from the base again. So what'll happen, though, is there's 2 things that could happen. One is the drought. I've noticed that out in the country a lot. A lot of the plants really took a stress from the drought. I'm not sure whether you're able to water yours or not, or whether just go by the rain. So that would affect it. Another thing that affects choke cherries especially is a fungal called black knot. And you get these growths in the trunk and on the stems. It looks like doggy doo-doo in a tree, is what it looks like. And once it gets into the trunk, and then it cuts off the sap from going up the tree, and then it basically kills, the leaves dry up. But what will happen is you'll get some new suckers coming from the base, and the plant will rejuvenate itself. So you can cut those dead branches off, and you'll get some new branches that will pop up from the ground again.
Okay. Our tree is about 20, 25 years old, and in the past we have had a bit of black knot, but as soon as we see it, we cut it off, and cut it off like 6 inches, 12 inches away from it, kind of.
Is this a native choke cherry, or is this a Schubert choke cherry?
It's a Schubert.
Okay, so it's a purple leaf Schubert choke cherry.
Right.
So, yeah, so it probably got, even if you notice it, you'll probably notice any welts or anything in the trunk, main trunk itself? Growths or dead spots or soft bark or anything like that?
Well, we had banded it for caterpillars, and we left the bands on too long and damaged the bark a little bit.
Okay, so that might have happened as well. That'll happen is that you'll get a soft spot and you'll get a fungal underneath that where that banding happened. So that could have happened. And so, like I said, if it's totally dead, you can trim it off. Schubert choke cherries can come from the base again, and it can rejuvenate itself. But you, otherwise, if it keeps spreading through the tree, you might have to just replace the tree.
Okay,
Ann, thank you very much for your call. Have a good morning. Yeah, you bet. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back with our remaining moments here with Rick Van Dyvendyke on Garden Talk, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk, our remaining moments with Woodsy and Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. We'll try and get to a few texts that we have. We've got quite a few of them. But another caller on the line from Regina. Jean is standing by with a question about her maple tree. So go ahead, Jean.
Good morning. I have a question about, I have about 20-year-plus sugar maple tree. I don't know how tall it is, 40 feet maybe. When's the best time to prune it?
Right now. Maples and birches need to be pruned in August, September.
No.
So you want to prune them as soon as possible.
So it won't bleed its sap?
No. If you do it in October, November, it'll bleed in the spring, or if you do it in during the winter or in the spring, it'll bleed, but if you do it right now, it'll heal up and it won't bleed next spring.
Oh, so I can do it anytime between now and the end of September?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Another thing, I noticed about 4 feet up from the ground, the tree divides into two big branches.
Yes.
There's on the north side, there's moss growing. Is that a bad thing? Should I take it off? Or?
Well, the only thing with moss, usually what happens is moss will grow on places where the bark is decaying a little bit.
Oh.
And so that's the only thing to watch. Just probe that area and to see whether it's soft underneath the bark.
Oh, okay.
And that might be an issue happening in that spot, especially where it V's off. And
right.
If you get water going into that V, if there's a crack.
Oh,
and then
okay.
You might be getting some decay and rot inside there. So you have to protect that from the water going inside that crack.
Oh, okay. Well, how do I do that?
You'll have to put a sealer on there just like you would, patch your roof.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So is there something you use as a sealer?
Called pruning paste.
Oh, okay. Great.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Rick. You're always so helpful.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very
yep.
much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go back to the text line here, 1-877-332-8255. This is from Mary in Regina, Rick. We have a Goodland apple tree, which still has apples. We heard you talking earlier about frost. Is there something we should do?
Actually, the apples, especially Goodland, they can handle a little bit of cold, so that doesn't help. That actually helps to sweeten them up a bit. So things like your September Ruby, your Goodland, some of your other Red Sparkles, the Honeycrisp, they all ripen a lot, do their major ripening in September. It's the ones like Norland and Battleford, they're the ones that are very ripe and they're turned soft if you haven't picked them by now. So, no, you're fine.
All right. Hope that helps you. Let's go to Bevan's Swift Current. She has tiny black bugs all over her flowers, never had them before. We had a leaf. I bet there was 50 on it, sprayed with malathion. Is there something that she should be doing?
Yeah, no, that's about all. Because right now I notice a lot of people have because the harvest has happened in the canola, everybody swapped all the canola, so the flea beetles have moved all over the place. And it's a little black beetle, and they'll just devour a lot of plants. So, yeah, spray them, and you don't have to use malathion if you don't want. You can use more of a... you can use insecticidal soap if you want. You can use, talked about that before, Endol. You can use Ambush. You can use a whole bunch of different things. Or you can just spray them with water if you want to get them to move on to other plants. But if you don't, they will just defoliate that tree completely. They'll eat every single leaf.
Mm. All right. Hope that helps you out, Bev. Now we go to Catepwa Lake. Vivia, how do I get rid of quack grass? Seems to have taken over our lawn.
Yeah, quack grass is a tough one, but the only thing that'll really take it is a product called Roundup, and you have to basically paint it onto the leaves because it'll kill the other good grass as well. So you have to be very careful how you do it, and there's two ways I do it. If it's in the grass, I'll cut the grass really low, water it, because quack grass will grow twice as fast as the regular grass, and then swipe it with basically a sponge. I like using a squeeze sponge mop. And then put some Roundup on it, squeeze it out so it's not dripping, and then wipe it walking backwards so you don't get steps on your lawn in 7 days from Roundup on your feet.
Mm. All right. I hope that helps out you, Vivian. Thank you very much for the text. This one from Mancota. Jared, what causes carrots to grow multiple legs? We had two 40-foot rows of carrots that were all deformed. I just want to know what to do differently next year. The garden had fertilizer before the garden was planted and sufficient water.
Yeah, consistent watering, moisture is good, right nutrients in the soil, and the soil is not too hard either. So when they're first growing, that's very important, is because they create those legs right there at the beginning after they germinate. So that's very important that first part, that the nutrients are there, and also that your moisture is proper right at the very beginning of the year when they first start forming. And if you do that at that point in time, then you'll have good crops the rest of the year.
All right, let's get into one more quick one here from Joanne. I was wondering if and or how I can bring a mandevilla in for the winter?
Yes, that's a good point, because a lot of people who want to keep their mandevillas, or if a lot of people put their hibiscus out, or they might have put their... their palm trees out and all those different types of things, umbrella trees, all their house plants. You want to start bringing them in. Now what you want to do is, if you're going to risk a frost, just put them inside the garage for the evening, but put them out during the day again and start spraying them with Endol, that canola insecticide soap pyrethrin. You need to spray them about 2 or 3 times, about at least 7 days between sprayings. And then before you bring them in, others bring hitchhikers. And when you bring them in, you want to make sure you cut the flowers off your mandevilla before you bring it in. It'll create new flowers inside the house, but the insects like to hide in the flower buds, so it's important to cut those off before you bring it in.
All right, Rick, we are right out of time. Once again, there are a lot of great questions and on the text line that we haven't been able to get to, maybe next week. But in the meantime, of course, all these people can reach in. How do they do that once again?
Yeah, just rick@dutchgrowers.com.
And just a reminder, once again, there could be some frost tonight, so they have to be aware of that.
Yeah, especially if you're a low-lying area, put a light sheet over top of your plants just to give them that protection.
Thank you so much, Rick, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Good talking with you.
All right, and look forward to talking to you as well next Sunday, 9 a.m. here on Garden Talk, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.